The best of the week on Relevant Radio.
Let's go to John from Scottsdale. John, what can I do for you?
Yeah, hey, Father Know-It-All.
Yes, that's me.
I got a question for you. How can we expect the average Jew in the times of before Christ to know that all of the ceremonial laws and the liturgical laws and that everything was really just pointing to Christ when we today need theologians to point that out to us? And I still have trouble looking at all that and saying, wow, yeah, that does point to Christ. And then, especially in those days, they didn't have libraries and libraries and libraries of books to refer to. What's your take on that? Do you think the average Jew really knew all that stuff pointed to Jesus?
Well, you know, people in the Old Covenant had a certain advantage in education that we don't have. They didn't have cable TV or cell phones. In other words, they could pay attention to stuff. It is said, and I wish I could footnote it, but I have heard that the first book of the Bible that a young Jewish boy studied was the book of Leviticus, which is all about temple rules. In other words, and they memorized the book of Leviticus. They memorized, you know, ancient people were much better at memorizing things because they didn't have paper and they didn't have Siri to whom they could say, Siri, would you remind me about this? They actually paid attention and they were able to memorize long, long passages of literature. And so every little Jewish boy knew Leviticus well. The Levites and then succeeded by the rabbis, they were people who instructed them further in the dimensions of that. So yeah, they did know the liturgical law. I will never forget being at a little baseball park in Chicago, which is a little league park. My godsons were in on the team, and I'm sitting there in the stands, and the family's there watching the kids play baseball. And it was very near a Jewish part of town, and there was a little Jewish boy with the side curls and the whole deal. He was about 7 or 8, and he's telling his little sister, who was 5 or 6, now, you can eat the potato chips that are in the bag, but you can't eat the hot dogs. In other words, this little kid was instructing his little sister. He was 6 or 7 years old. He was instructing her in the fine points of kosher law. So they still do it. And, you know, the rabbi's sons were not scholars, but whenever I had a question about kosher law, I'd go to them. And you see, we are not educated in these things at all. In fact is, over the course of the years, there's been a sort of separation between Judaism and Christianity. This was not true in the ancient Roman Empire. Maybe 8 to 10% of the Roman Empire was Jewish. And they saw the customs of their Jewish neighbors regularly. You know, Jews make up a much smaller percent of today's population. So Romans were familiar with Jews. The 7-day week was already becoming popular at the time of Christ, long before the Christianization of the empire, hundreds of years before it. So these rules, they seem so arbitrary. And people who are serious in the Greek and Roman world about philosophy and religion would look at these rules and say, what are these about? And they were open to the symbolic interpretations of them. Does that help?
That, okay, now this bull that we're sacrificing is really just a temporary sacrifice that's pointing to the coming Messiah.
Well, it's about sacrifice. Yeah. I mean, you got to look at religion before Moses. Religion before Moses was, as many religions, kind of a practical voodoo. You know, I have heard, and I don't want to get into religious tiffs with other people, but I have heard some Eastern religions which seem in our eyes so very elegant and spiritual that in the practical world, you go to one of the practitioners of this religion and ask him to put a curse on your neighbor's cow that it dies. I mean, that was religion. You know, everybody talks about leprechauns and fairies and Irish folklore. You talk to an old Irish farmer, the leprechauns are scary. You don't cross a leprechaun. The fairies are malevolent spirits. If you plow over a fairy castle and plant crops, your crops are going to die. I mean, they believed in nature spirits, which were malevolent. And religion was all about how to get your way, how to get the gods to do what you wanted, how to get these malevolent spirits to leave you alone. Give them a chicken and maybe they'll leave you alone. Whereas God wanted to create a people for whom religion was moral and ethical. And so he did that by bringing the people into the desert for 40 years and creating a new people, a people that had been born from above. I think that we don't understand religion before the religion of Israel. And the religion of Israel was made available to the whole world through Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ. And the idea that sacrifice is noble, the ancient world would have said, that's crazy. Sacrifice is necessary because the gods demand it. But the sacrifices of Israel were to teach people that life is sacrificial. And the religious practices of the ancient world were elevated and sanctified by the presence of Israel in the world. And they were disseminated throughout the whole world by Jesus of Nazareth, the Messiah. So, you know, that human beings left to their own devices can be really rotten. And this transformative experience of the people of Israel through the law and through obedience and through the sacrificial order, it's a big deal. Does that help a little, John?
Yeah, it does.
Good. And
appreciate it.
Yeah, I think you just look at human beings when left, you know, we're entering into a neo-paganism in our society, and the riots and the murders and the mass shootings, these are people who are raised without the ethical code of Judeo-Christianity. So I hope that helps. Well, thanks for calling in, John. And again, I'm honored that you listen.
You're welcome.
You can join me and listen on the Relevant Radio app to Father Simon Says live each weekday at 1 o'clock Central. And thanks for listening.